Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath to you. I was telling my friend Matt, I love this time of year. I love the long days and sun comes up early and the days last forever. And it's great to see Jimmy here. If I'm lucky in a good week, I'll get to spend time in the water with him. So it's great to see all of you. Thanks so much for joining us today in worship. I'd like you to take a minute with me and imagine what led to the disciples' request. Did you hear the text today? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what we call the Lord's Prayer. That prayer was in response to a question that the disciples asked of Jesus. And they said, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to pray. How do you pray? How are we supposed to do this? And what I tried to imagine for a few minutes this week was what led to that question. So here they were. They had decided to follow him, right? They were in his inner circle. They were his closest friends. They ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him, right? And they saw this behavior in him that they just couldn't wrap their heads around. He would go off and pray, and he would disappear at times. And there are stories about they went looking for him because they couldn't find him, and they'd find him praying off somewhere in some remote place. They used the word wilderness, which here would probably be just down along Sunset Cliffs on the beach, or maybe up in the sagebrush on Cowles Mountain, or somewhere like that. He's just off in the middle of nature, talking to his Father. And then they see him doing things that are beyond their comprehension, people being healed, and him forgiving sins of people, and they're going, what's going on with this thing he's doing? We see him praying. There must be some big source of power he's tapping into there that we don't know about. Can you put yourself in their spot, though? They've never witnessed anything like this. They've never seen it before. They can't believe what they're seeing, right? Here's Jesus in communion with his Heavenly Father, and finally one day they get up the nerve and they say, could you please teach us how to pray? Because there's something there that we want. There's something we want to know about. How does this work, right? How does this work? So, out of this curiosity, because they came into the life of Jesus and they're seeing a life lived in a way they've never seen before, and they're seeing God's power manifested, and they're going, it appears that this is being traced back to prayer. What do you think, Peter? Yeah, Andrew, I think so. I think we better ask him some questions. All right? So they did. They asked him, Jesus, okay, what's prayer about? How do we pray? So we have a lot of recorded prayers of Jesus, okay? But what we're talking about is his answer to that question, okay? Because in this prayer that he tells us about, which is the answer to that question, there's a lot we can learn. We see Jesus praying parts of that prayer by themselves. We don't see him praying the whole Lord's Prayer and all of its components all the time. But when he taught his disciples, when he answered that question, he put pieces in place that were critical to their understanding of prayer, okay? And we talked about some of this before. How does the Lord's Prayer start? How did Jesus start by answering that question? Jesus, please, what's the secret? How do we pray? What is a prayer made out of? And what's the first two words he starts with? Our Father. Starts with family, doesn't it? It's not just our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed is your name. So he's in heaven and he's holy, right? And then it goes to what we talked about last time, the middle of the prayer. Right in the middle, you have our Father who's in heaven, you're holy. That's the first part. Then you have the middle part, and it's one or two statements. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay? This is right in the middle of the prayer. We talked about that last time. And then the prayer proceeds to ask for things. Right? So you have acknowledging who God is. You see just the acknowledgement of God, who He is. He's our Father. He's in heaven. He's holy. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Not my kingdom come, my will be done. Your kingdom come. We're surrendering our hearts to Him. We're saying, You know best. You love me. You died for me. You paid for my sins. I'm grateful for that. I offer You my life. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. We talked about that last time. So today we're going to talk about asking, and then we're going to go to some of the other prayer. Okay, acknowledgement at the beginning. Our Father in heaven, holy are You. Holy is Your name. Surrender of the heart is right in the middle of it. And then asking, followed by asking. Forgive us our debts. Give us our bread, to give us food, you know. Deliver us from evil. Those are the asks, okay? We talked also about the fact last time that that middle part of that prayer, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, that's the battle that Jesus fought right before the cross. He went to the cross because He said, I don't want to go to the cross. Is there another way? And His Heavenly Father said, no, there is no other way. He said, okay, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Let's do this, right? That's the middle of the Lord's Prayer, is the surrender of the heart. But there's asking. We're going to talk about asking today. Asking. It's so interesting to me that when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, ask for stuff. He didn't say, just acknowledge God for who He is. He didn't just surrender your heart, period. He said, and then ask for stuff. Okay? He said, ask, ask, ask. It's just, it's an essential part of prayer. So my goal today is that all of us here today will walk away with something that's going to deepen your prayer life. I hope we find some of the answers that the disciples found, right, today. I hope we're His followers, we're His disciples. I hope you and I will find something that will sweeten and deepen and enrich your prayer life. So listen carefully. That's our goal today. I'm going to start by telling some stories. Some of you remember Lindsay Quayle. Lindsay was a member of this church. And one weekend, I don't know, it was a weekend, Carol, was she there for the whole weekend? Anyway, she was taking care of our dog. And we have an Airedale Terrier. I don't know if we have a picture of it here. He's the one on the right there, okay? So they all look the same. No offense, Airedales. But we had another one, an earlier version of this one, and his name was Theo, and we called him Grumpus Humongous because he's always grumpy. But one thing that Theo loved and every one of our dogs love is donuts. So we had our friend Lindsay over at the house taking care of the dog while we were gone, and she decided, well, I'm going to take the dog out for a walk. So she gets the leash out, she gets a bag out, she takes the dog for a walk, and Theo drags her down the block to the end of the block. When he gets to the end of the block, he drags her to the end of the next block, and he's just pulling hard. And when he gets to the end of that block, he turns left, and he just keeps pulling and pulling for another two or three blocks. And then he turns across the street, across the red light, across the crosswalk, and he parks himself right in front of the donut shop. That's the one thing that if you ever get into Airedale, they will sell their souls for donuts, okay? So we have this dog. His name is Jeeves. He's on the right side. And he will sell himself for a donut as well. So if we're at home and we can't say the word donut, because if you ever say the word donut, even if you whisper it and he hears it, he'll start jumping around like... He's 10 years old. He's not supposed to be jumping at this point. He starts jumping around. He starts doing laps around the house. He starts clawing at the door. He's totally out of control, okay? Because he heard the word donut, donut. What's real, and then of course, the dog sleeps, you know, pretty much all day, but all of a sudden he just has this other gear that he goes into. Well, I'll put the leash on him and we will run all the way to Donut Star, which is about 6 blocks away, and he just runs full tilt. It doesn't matter. He's just going to get his donut. So I tie him a little post out there. I go in and get a donut, and he's just bouncing around, like looking through the door, like, oh, yeah. If you had a donut in your hand, well, so let me tell you about Airedales. When they're 2 years old, they obey you about 10% of the time. And when they're 10-year-olds, they obey you about 30% of the time. But when you have a donut in your hand, they obey you 100% of the time. He will do all of his tricks. He will sit. He will lie down. He will do whatever he knows to impress you, he will do. When you tell him to lie down and you have a donut in your, don't have a donut in your hand, he goes like, on the dirt? Nah, I don't think so. You have a donut in your hand, he just flings himself down. He just throws himself on the ground. Okay, give me my donut, right? So if my friend Alberto here had a donut in his hand and he gave Jeeves all these commands, Jeeves would do 100% of what Alberto asked him to do. No problem. But the second that donut's gone, it's like, who are you? What are you talking about? Okay? Right? Our dog, Jeeves, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, he divides people into three categories. You're either a non-food source, okay, which you are all non-food sources to him here because you don't know him, or you're a food source. We've got a guy that stands in the corner and smokes cigars out, and his name's Steve. He's a food source because he always has treats in his pocket. So Jeeves will, you know, power across the street to sit in front of Steve and sit down in front of him to impress him so he gets a treat. Thing about being a food source with Jeeves is once the food's gone, the obedience is gone. Okay? But there's a third category. So you got the non-food sources, you got the food sources who become non-food sources once the food's gone. And then you have the third category, which is family. And family, we matter a little bit even though we don't have food. Okay, even when food's not around, we matter to our dog. We do matter. We can tell that. He comes over, he wants to be scratched and different things like that. And, you know, he's sociable toward us and stuff like that. But what's so interesting as I was contemplating the topic of prayer is when we pray so often, we are like terriers, right? Okay, first category is a non-food source. We treat God like he's a non-food source. He doesn't matter at all. He has nothing for me. There's nothing there for me. I'm going to ignore him. It doesn't matter. That's how our dogs are to people that they don't know, that don't have food. Or we treat him like a food source, which means that he has something we want, therefore we're going to do something to try to get it. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Anybody ever made a bargain with God in a prayer? Well, I'll do this if you'll do this. Yeah. So he's a food source. But once the gift is gone, then we quickly forget. You know, we run into a crisis, right? Oh, we got to pray to fix this, right? We need to fix now. I haven't prayed for 3 weeks, but I'm going to pray now. And then we get what we want. Or maybe we don't, and then God's put on the back burner. And then what's the third category? God's a non-food source. He's a food source. What was the third one that our dog has? Family. Family. It's very interesting to me that the Lord's Prayer starts with our Father. That's the starting point. So often we go to the asking part, like our dog, and we forget the beginning part, right? Our Father. If we grasp the beginning part, our Father matters. He's family. He matters whether he has something for us or not, right? Interesting. So when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, start with the words, Our Father. Start by identifying yourself as family. Start by, make that your great starting point. This is the foundation of prayer. So when you pray, when I pray, we're talking to family. We don't pray to the cosmos or the universe. We don't pray to the saints. We don't pray to the Virgin Mary. We don't pray to, we don't look inside to find direction from our inner self to become our best self, right? You ever hear that one? Be your best self. And you just have to search inside for that. We pray to who? Our Father. Yeah, our Father. Our Father. That's the starting point. He's not us. He's a separate person. Our Father. He's in heaven. He's holy. He's a separate person. And if you want to find your best self, and I want to find my best self, he will lead us. He will lead us to our best self. And that's what the surrender part of that prayer is about. Our Father. It lays the foundation. And then comes the surrender, and then comes the asking. Okay? The asking comes in the context of a family relationship. I'd like another picture up here for us. So this is Sebastian here on the right, and this is Rowan, okay? And we went climbing a couple weeks ago, and we went bouldering. And Rowan there got up on a few boulders, and he said, Dad, he's looking down at the ground, you know, 6 or 8 feet down, and he's going, oh, man, I think I'm going to fall off, and could you please help me? Could you please hold me? Could you please lift me up to the next hold? And his dad would say, no, you can do it, son. I'll catch you if you fall, but just put your right hand up. There's a hold just a little bit further, and put your right foot on that other hold. See that down by your right? And he's looking around, he's finding it, and next thing you know, Rowan's all the way up the rock. So here's a father and here's a son, and here's Rowan asking for stuff from his dad, and his dad saying, no, I'm not going to help you. You can do this. Just do this, do this, do this. I want you to build your skill set. I'm here for you. I'm with you, but I want you to grow in your skill set. And so dad is just hands off. Now, is that a good thing for a father to do in this situation? I think so. Because what happened to Rowan? He goes, his horizons expanded, right? He grew. He developed. He knew his father was there. And an encouragement he got from his father was what enabled him to do that, right? But did his father say yes to what he asked for? He didn't. His father said, no, I'm not going to help you right now. I want you to do this, this, and this, and this. And next thing you know, Rowan is now learning to look around for holds. Next thing you know, he's learning to put his feet on different holds and his hands on different holds. Next thing you know, he's experiencing joy of doing something he never thought he could do. And his father was just talking to him and saying, I'm here. Don't worry. I'm here. Do good fathers always give us what we ask for? Yeah. I want to eat donuts for breakfast every day all week long. There you go. Okay. He does too. Yeah. I want... Well, let me just ask you guys some questions. Let's start here. Have you ever asked God for something that he gave to you, and God gave you what you were asking for? Have you? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, me too, yeah. Okay, anyone here have a story about God asking for something and God did not give you what you asked for? Okay, here's another one. Did anybody look back on that situation where God didn't give you what you wanted and you realized that was probably a good thing? Okay. I see a lot of nodding heads. Anybody here upset that your Heavenly Father didn't give you what you wanted? Anyone thankful he didn't give you what you wanted? We talked about that a minute ago. Yeah. Okay, how about this one? Anybody still puzzled about why he didn't give you what you wanted? Yeah, that's okay too. We don't have to fully grasp. We can't grasp sometimes what. There's a text in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, and it says, the Father gives good gifts to His children. He says, you know, you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children. Your Heavenly Father is even more capable of giving good gifts to His children. Is it a good gift to your children to give them donuts for breakfast every day? No. And sometimes we have a pretty warped idea of what we need, right? And our Heavenly Father, in His wisdom, says no to that. I'd like to share a couple stories along this line from the Bible. There's a book in the Bible, in the middle of your Bible, the book of Job. And if you've read that book, in chapter 1, the devil comes to God and he says, here's your servant Job down here on earth. And then, you know, he looks like a pretty righteous guy. And, but if you took all the blessings away that you're giving him, he would curse you to your face. Well, that sounds like Steve running out of treats to give our dog, right? You don't matter anymore. He doesn't know how to curse, but maybe he would. And the devil said, God, you're just a food source to Job. If you stop giving him what he wants and blessing him all these ways, he's going to just say, oh, he's going to curse you. And so, you know the rest of the story. Job loses his family. He loses his health. He loses all of his wealth. Does he curse God? No. His friends advise him to do that, but he doesn't. Let me ask you a question. Was God family, or was he just a food source to Job? He was family. God was in such a bigger place in Job's life, and the only way you could tell was when all the blessings went away, what happened to Job. Yes, though he slay me, I will praise him. So in your life and mine, when those blessings are gone, that's how we can tell what our relationship with God really is like. It's mature faith. That's what it looks like. It looks like that. Job was basically saying, because Job woke up every morning, he probably did what I do. I pray, Lord, provide for our needs today. Lord, take care of our family. What's the first thing he lost is his family. Take care of all of my business, right? The next thing he lost was all of his wealth, all of his houses, all of his cattle, everything. Take care of my health. God said, poof, that's gone too. So Job, he was getting no. And he says, you're my Heavenly Father. I don't get this. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It's painful. It hurts. It's painful emotionally and physically. You're my Heavenly Father. You're my Father. We're family. I know you have something in this that I don't see. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, that's what he said. And he told his friends, no, I will not. He can kill me, and I will not curse his name. So Job knew all about getting no answers to prayer. Do you think Job's relationship with God was sweeter after this crisis or before the crisis? After. Is anybody here in a crisis of some sort right now? Yeah. We all are. So who's God? Where's the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father. It's a family relationship. It's not looking inside. It's not looking anywhere else. It's looking to our Heavenly Father. And is our relationship with Him going to be sweeter before or after the crisis? Afterwards. If we will trust Him as our Father. If we will say, yes, You are my Father. A father loves his kids. A father will do anything for his kids. A father will... loves his kids enough to say no so that they can grow. Our Father hurts when His kids hurt. Our Father is joyful when the kids are joyful. Our Father watches while a kid's growing up and going through some tough times and getting to the sweetness of the moment when the crisis is past. Mm-hmm. Our Father... I'm pretty sure God didn't give Job what he asked. I don't think Job prayed to lose his family. I don't think Job prayed to lose all of his flocks. I don't think Job prayed to lose all of his houses and his health. I don't think so. I think Job prayed for all the things we pray for, and God said no, 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 no. And here was a bigger plan and a bigger scheme that only he could see that Job couldn't see. And Job trusted his Heavenly Father, right? Isn't that our challenge? Isn't that your challenge and mine, right? Lord, I don't understand what's happening here. It hurts. It doesn't make sense. And he's asking, and our story can be the same as Job. It's just, you need to stay the course and say, our Father, I trust you. I don't get it. It's painful. But I want to hold your hand through this. I want to find your assurance. I want to learn what it is that I need to learn through this experience so that you and I can become even closer in a relationship of deeper and deeper and deeper trust. We often start our Christian life by God giving us stuff to get our attention. But as our Christian lives continue, maturity often comes when God takes things away and we learn to live in that environment. That's what Job dealt with. Right? Right? So if God's taking away, just focus on being with Him through that. Okay? Don't let the circumstances or the stuff that's lost be your focus. Okay, that's just asking, that's the gift. Remember, the Lord's Prayer starts with our Father. That's the most important part. That asking part may go our way, the way we think it should go, or not. God may say yes, or He may say no to that. The most important thing is to be anchored in our Father. Because if we're anchored there, and we're built on that fact, whether God gives us or doesn't give us, we understand that within that relationship, it's always good. Always good, right? It's always good. He always gives good gifts to His children. Did you notice Jesus used good gifts? Sometimes a good gift is saying, no, no, not right now. No, never. I've had that one. Okay. But what peace we can find if we retreat to the beginning of the prayer, our Father, right? Don't hang your hat on whether God gives you or doesn't give you what you ask for. Ask, do ask, 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 ask. He says to ask. But he says, trust me, I'm your father. I'm your father. I'm family. I'm looking out for you. I want what's best for you. And that's where Job was. I don't think Job asked for all of those things that came his way, but that's what he got. What about one of Jesus' disciples or followers? His name was Stephen. He ended his life by being stoned. Remember that story? You can read about it. I don't think Stephen asked for that. But the story, if you read the story, is very clear that he completely trusted his Heavenly Father during that experience. Completely. It was okay with him that God withdrew and allowed him to go through that difficult situation. Withdrew his protection, so to speak, right? Because he trusted his Heavenly Father to see the big picture that he couldn't see. And he said, I don't care. He said what Job said. If you slay me, I will still trust you. I will still honor you. Or I still glorify you. That's mature faith. So God often starts with us by giving us what we ask for and what we want. And sometimes the maturing process requires that we don't get what we want, or we go through difficulties where we feel like he's withdrawn from us, his protection or his blessings. Let those be times where you and I say the same thing. You're my father. I trust you. It doesn't matter whether you give me what I ask for or I don't. I'm going to continue to ask. But I trust you most of all. That's the great starting point of the prayer. And that's where we have to retreat to. Jesus, before he went to the cross, asked for something his Heavenly Father refused. You remember that? What did he ask for? He said, yeah, I don't want to go to the cross. It's too painful. Isn't there another way we can do this? I know we talked about this and everything, but isn't there a plan B? So Jesus didn't get everything he asked for, right? Father, isn't there another way? And his father said, no, we got to do this. This is the only way. And he says, not my will, but your will, right? Which is the center of the Lord's Prayer. He gave his will in favor of his father's, because he was his father. So here's Jesus in prayer. What's he doing? He's asking, right? He's asking who? He's asking his father, and he's not getting what he wants. And then he's going to the middle of the prayer, and he's surrendering his will, and he's saying, okay, you know better than me. In this moment, this is what I want, but I know you see a bigger picture, and I trust you completely to the point I'm just going to travel that path. I can't see that right now, but I'm going. Wow. 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 So ask. Ask your father. Don't be like my dog and ask like a celestial vending machine, right? Run out of food? Oh, okay. Next, let's go find another food source. Ask your father. And when he says no, say, not my will, but yours, because you know. Okay, multiple choice, here's the quiz, okay? I gave you a quiz last time. We're going to do another quiz today. And I don't know. I guess the people who get perfect score get to go first in potluck line, something like that. Okay. When asked how to pray, Jesus told his disciples to start their prayers by asking. True or false? False. He started with what? Our Father. Never forget that. We often like to jump to the last part of the prayer, right? And we forget about the first part, and we become like terriers. Which are wonderful as pets, but maybe we're pets to God. I don't know. I think he wants more than that. Okay, true or false? When asked to pray, Jesus told his disciples to start their prayers by acknowledging God as their Father. True, yeah. Okay, multiple choice. Out of the following 15 choices, select all the correct answers. No, just kidding. Don't you hate those kind? I hate those kind. We're going to make this easy. God is a non-food source, he's a food source, or he's family. Which one? He's family. He's family. He has our best interest in mind. I want to end here with a couple of thoughts, and I wrote this down, and I want to share it with you the way I wrote it. Before there, I go there, let me just point out, you know, something that I've seen. Some people seem to think that if you don't get what you want, you didn't have enough faith. Have you ever seen that one, though? If we just pray harder and longer and more, God's not giving us what we've asked for because our heart's not in the right spot. Is that consistent with Scripture? No, it's not. Fathers don't give their children everything they ask for. Our Father is where the Lord's Prayer starts. Well, they would have been healed if we had just prayed more or harder. Or, the reason that your car is broken down because, you know, your faith is not strong enough. Well, Job's car was broken down. Stephen was stoned. God says no sometimes. That's not a reflection on us. God does want us to have confidence in him. So here's how I'm going to say it here. Listen, I'm no prayer expert here. I'm just sharing with you some things I've learned, okay? Here's how I see it, based on what we've read today. Our prayer should express complete confidence in our Heavenly Father, whether he gives us what we ask for or whether he doesn't. Our confidence should be in him. It shouldn't be in the end of the prayer, the asking part. Well, if I had had more faith, I would have gotten the car. If I had more faith, I would have gotten the job or the girlfriend or whatever, right? Anybody prayed for a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Yeah, I've done that. But I didn't have enough faith, so that didn't happen. No. Job didn't get what he asked for. God's people don't always get what they ask for because they have a Heavenly Father. Otherwise, it would be us deciding. He would be like a vending machine, right? There's a formula. You do this, 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 and this, and this. Pull the handle. Boom. But Jesus wiped that out when he said, our Father. His fathers aren't vending machines. They care. They care enough to give, and they care enough to not give. Our prayers should express complete confidence in our Heavenly Father, whether he gives us what we ask for or not. I'm going to ask for what I think I need, and whatever you decide is okay with me. I trust you. I appreciate you that you see a bigger picture, that you love me, and you have my best interest in mind. Our confidence is always in him as our Father, the focus is never the things we ask for. He tells us to ask. But if it was all about us and the things we wanted, who would be in charge? We would be in charge. And the middle of Lord's Prayer would be pointless. Not my will, but your will, right? He's in charge. He's our Father. He gives good gifts to us, our children. And we put our complete trust and confidence in him, even when the going gets really, really tough. Like it did for Job, like it did for Stephen, like it did for Jesus at the cross. We put our confidence in him. That's where our perfect faith should be, is in him as our Heavenly Father. Not in a focus on what we want or the gifts we want him to give us. Our prayers should express our confidence in our Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask you for what I need, and whatever you decide is okay with me. How many times have we been beside maybe the bed, or maybe hearing about a friend who is in declining health, right? Sick. Pray for me. Absolutely. Should we be asking our Father for healing? Absolutely. Does He have all wisdom and all knowing, all knowledge to know what's best for His children at that point in time? Absolutely. Our confidence rests in Him. And we should bring our requests to Him with confidence, knowing that He loves us. And we should accept the fact that we don't have that all-knowing view of life to be able to see maybe what's best or not in a situation. We always give that to Him. He's our Father. Fathers know that stuff, and we don't know those things. If you look in your bulletin, there's an insert. I don't have it here in front of me, but there's a song that you've probably heard, and I just want to bring to your attention some of the lyrics. It's down at the bottom, and it was written by Natalie Grant. And it says, help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. And this is basically taking all of our asking and putting it under the umbrella of our Father. Isn't it? Yeah. So, Jesus, when His disciples were saying, how do you pray? How do we go about this? He started with the big thing. He started with family. Our Father. And then he went to surrender your will and acknowledge that He is wiser and He is your God. Put Him on the throne of your heart. And then He said, ask. 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 Asking is an essential part of prayer. Don't ignore the asking. You don't have because you don't. Have you ever heard that text? You don't have because you don't ask. Jesus, in His prayer, He put asking right in there. So let's ask. And let's ask Him for things. And let's try to unify our hearts with His. And we're asking along the lines of His kingdom and His purposes. And let's see what God will do. I hope today maybe we learned something, or we reaffirmed maybe some basic understanding of what prayer is about. And this is the foundation of the answer He gave His disciples. This is the first thing He told His disciples. If you really want to know where the power of prayer is, it starts with two words: Our Father.